Is God speaking to you? Are you able to recognize when He is? What if your healing is tethered to you hearing from God and understanding what prayer is needed to change your circumstances? Well, welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest has an extensive resume, but some may know him as the founder and director of Spirit Equipped Ministries and the co-author of the new book, Healing Prayer. In this episode, we will explore how to recognize when God is speaking to you, how we are to respond, especially in regards to healing prayers, and what the ultimate benefits are. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Dr. David Chaka.
Welcome. You said my name right. Well done.
I know that it's difficult for people to pronounce your last name, but as we were discussing prior to the recording, your name background is actually Ukrainian.
Correct? That's correct. 100%. Yes.
So, yeah. Have an interesting meaning. Your name actually means elder.
Yes, it does. It's actually Old Church Slavonic. That means that someone in the church was an elder or a priest. And in the Orthodox Church, priests have to marry before they pastor. And so that means there's legitimate children.
And I was saying, you really speak to you're living up to your actual name.
Yes, although I did not know the meaning of my name until I met a Ukrainian Orthodox priest who did the research for me.
Wow.
And so that was kind of fun.
Well, I'm excited to get into this episode. There is a lot to be said. We put three questions on the table. You know, how do we know or recognize when God is speaking to us? You know, how are we to respond, especially in regards to healing prayers? And what are the ultimate benefits when we do? So you've been on this journey over 20 years.
Oh, more than that. No, I started prayer for healing in 1980. Yeah, about 1981, which means I'm an old guy.
But you went on this journey and you were seeking or trying to discover, you know, am I hearing from God or how are other people hearing from God? Share a little bit about that story.
Well, actually, you know, the first story in the Healing Prayer Book puts all those elements together. Would that be appropriate to tell?
Sure.
Okay, so listen, I was a seminary student in a tradition that had liberals and conservatives in it. You know, they call themselves progressives now, but call them what you will. There were people who were supernaturalists and people who were anti-supernaturalist. And I would go into some classes, and I was a new student, and it was my first year on the job kind of thing. And there were about 30, 35 of us in the class. And one professor said something about Jesus not walking on the water. And I said, wait a minute, I believe that that's an historical narrative. It's not just mythology, it's historical. And at that moment, there was this student in the class who, you know, we're all new. And he could have been a stand-up comic. The guy was absolutely, totally, completely hilarious. He could look at you sideways and make the room laugh. He was one of these guys who had a natural gift and he'd honed it. He'd been a radio broadcaster and had talk shows where he made fun of the people and that kind of thing. Anyway, he stands up. And he makes a joke and the whole room explodes in laughter. We were laughing so hard it hurt. The trouble was, it was a joke at my expense. He made fun of my believing that Jesus walked on water. And so I thought, okay, well, that's a one-off. Let's see what happens next. And of course, we had a bunch of classes together and we had electives where we weren't together. But three or four of those classes, I was with this guy. So here's what happens. I go to the next class and something happens again and I defend the scripture. I talk about the historicity of the text or the resurrection being a bodily thing or whatever. And he stands up and he makes a joke again, and it's once again at my expense. And this goes on, 2 months, 3 months. It's very clear. He doesn't believe those things and we're not going to be friends. So one day I said, okay, that's done. I'm finished. I'll just do what I have to do and I'll keep my guard up whenever I'm saying something around this guy. Now, he had a lovely wife who was sweet and kind, and we had a shared friend who was one of those do unto others as you would have them do unto you kind of Christian girls. Anyway, I was going to my Greek class, walking across the plaza, when this girl, who's a friend of ours, I called her Susie in the book, stopped me. She said, how you doing, David? I said, well, I'm going to my Greek class. What's up? And she said, you see that hospital about 6 blocks down the road? I said, yeah, the University Hospital. She said, you know the comedian? I said, oh, yeah. She said, he's in there. And actually, I didn't feel bad, Jack. I had to repent of my bad attitude, you know. So anyway, then I said, what's up? And she said, oh, he's very sick. And I felt badly about my attitude. And I told the Lord I was sorry, that kind of thing. And then she said, yes, he has phlebitis. And I don't know if you know what that means. It means you had a clot in your vein somewhere. And if the clot broke free and it traveled through your bloodstream and it got to your lung or your brain, 95 times out of 100, you're dead. And it was a very serious thing. And so immediately my attitude changed. And I said, oh, is he getting good care? And she said, yeah, he's in that hospital right over there, about 6 blocks down the road. I said, oh, okay. And I said, what's up? She said, well, I went to see him. I said, is he doing okay? She said, no, he's not. But he asked me to ask you something. I said, what's that? And she said, he wants you to go and pray for him. I said, what? He's made fun every single time I've talked about the healing ministry of Jesus or the Bible being true or the atonement being necessary or the resurrection being physical, all those kinds of things. He's made fun of me at every opportunity. She said, yes, but and then she stopped and she said, you know, you're right. He's been cruel. I said, yes, he has. And I'm not going. So now there were two reasons for not saying I'm not going. Number one, you just heard it. It was this mockery thing. But number two, I had not been trained in this. I'd never met anybody healed by the prayer of faith. I'd never met anybody healed by the prayer of faith. I'd not done it. So I was greener than your average rookie. So the point is, I went off to my Greek class, and the next day I saw the same girl in the coffee lounge of the school. And she said, I went to see our friend. I said, what did he say? She said, he's terribly sorry. He didn't mean to be so nasty to you, but would you please come and pray for him? I said, I'm not going. It was because I was afraid and I'd never done it before. And I received no training. And so anyway, I'm going along. And you know, the next day, I'm walking across the same plaza. There was a 3 times a week class. The same girl meets me and she says, did you go and see your friend? I said, I'm not going. And I don't know if you've ever been told off by your mother, Jackie, but this is what happened. This girl stomped her foot, fire, you know, she was mad as all get out. She raised her voice. She looked at me with that mother stare and she said, David R. Chotka, aren't you going around this school telling everybody the Bible is the word of God and it's supposed to be obeyed? I said, yes. She said, what about this scripture? I was sick and you visited me. And then I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to go. I don't want to go with it. Oh, no. A fell blow landed in the center of my soul. And then I looked at the girl. And remember, I didn't know what I was doing. So I said, it says sick and visited. It doesn't say sick and prayed. She said, well, sick or not, you got to go. I said, okay. So finished my class. And then I walked the 6 blocks. I went into the room. And it was very serious. The guy was on monitors and he was, you know, had all these tubes coming out of his body and the heartbeat thing was going and the nurses were walking in and out and there were little cups of medicine. And he was just scared. He's white as a ghost. And I'd never seen him scared and he was perspiring and he didn't know what to do. And it was pretty sad. So anyway, I go in there and Jackie, I talked about the weather. I didn't know what to do. And then I had that little comment. Then I talked about his courses, you know, and I said, well, I've come to see you. I hope you get better soon. I'm going to leave. And he said, wait, aren't you going to pray? I said, wait a minute. I have to clear the air before I do this. Every single time I have mentioned the healing ministry of Jesus or the miracles of Christ or the resurrection or anything that has to do with a supernatural kind of faith, you have mocked me in front of our peers. Why in the name of all that is holy are you asking me to come and pray for you? And the guy burst into tears and he started to cry buckets. And he said, I am so, so sorry I did that to you. But you're the only guy I know who believes that every word in that book is true. You're the only guy. And I have phlebitis and I could die. Won't you please pray for Jesus to heal me? Now, what are you going to do? I mean, so suddenly I realized he meant it. He wasn't playing at this, but I still didn't know what I was doing. I remembered, okay, in the Bible it says Jesus put his hand on people, right? So I looked at him and said, listen, can I come around your side and put my hand on you over the spot? He said, sure. I said, where is it? He said, left side, above my elbow and my arm. And so I walked around to him and I put my hand there and then I put my other hand on his head. And this was the moment, and this answers your question about voice and healing. Okay, so this is the moment. As I was starting, I don't know what I prayed. Jackie, I cannot remember because I was scared out of my ever-loving tree for lots of reasons. One, I was scared of the mockery. Two, I was scared that nothing would happen. And three, I'd never done this before. And I'm standing beside him and I start to pray. And suddenly, it was like the atmosphere in that hospital room changed. Every iota of the room was filled with presence. And the only, I can't describe it because English runs out. It was like fire and peace and compassion and focus and absolute fixated love on this man from the heart of Jesus directly toward him. I felt like I was infilled by this very presence. And when I inhaled, it was like I was inhaling compassion. I started to weep. A tear came down the corner of my eye. And suddenly this fiery presence entered into my spirit. And it rose up inside of me and got so large that I could hardly contain it. And then the power flowed through my hand and went into his arm. And then he said this, "What is that fiery presence going into me?" I said, "That's the Spirit of Jesus. He's healing you." And then I ran out of the room because I was scared. I didn't know if he was going to mock me. I had never felt anything like that before. And I had no language to describe what had just taken place. And then, you know, I just didn't know what to do. So I ran out. And the next day, he's in the coffee lounge of the school. I said, "You're here." And he said, "Yes." And then he threw me into a corner. He dragged me by the hand, got me and looked in every direction. And then he said, "That prayer changed my life." I said, "Thank you." And I ran away again. So, that, you know, the next time I had a class with him, and it was the next day, I made some comment about the Bible being true, something. And then he stood up to do the joke. And of course, the whole class was expecting the joke. And they all loved those jokes because they were hilarious anyway. And he lobbed the humor grenade into the center of the room looking for the explosion. And it did, in fact, explode. And here's what happened. He made fun of those who did not believe the scripture to be true. Mm. And it turned around. And he did that in the next class. And he did that in the next class. And it just went on. And then when it came time, so that part of the story is in my healing prayer book. The second half, I'm just going to give you because it has to do with hearing the voice. And so he passed his, so it's time for our summer field. And in the denomination I was serving, you had to do 8 months of school and 4 months of service. And so you'd go into some church and a seasoned pastor would help you do all kinds of things like pastoral care and assisting at a wedding and all those kinds of things. So you knew what you were doing. He puts his phone number in my hand and he said, "If you're in trouble, you call." I said, "Okay." So I went off to my summer field, had a great summer. I came back at the end of the summer and I walked into the school and he races over to me and he said, "You didn't call me." I said, "I didn't have any trouble. I had a lot of fun." He said, "If you're in trouble, you call." I said, okay. So anyway, we go into 2 months into the term and he continues to defend the historicity of the scripture. He does this all the time and we're going to a party. There's one of these little social things for the students. And we're all gathered around and I walk over to him and his wife is there and that girl I call Susie standing there. And we're chatting about this and that and the other thing. And then the two girls start giving him the elbow. You know, this, and then his wife and the girl said, "You got to tell Chotka what happened. You got to tell him what happened." He said, "I don't want to tell him what happened." So anyway, finally, he told us what happened. Right after I ran out of the room, a nurse walked in. And he said to the nurse, "I can go home now. Jesus has healed me. My friend from the Bible school, he came and prayed for me." And she said, "We don't do that around here. You got to run some tests." And he said, "Well, run them." And she said, "Well, you're due for them. Let's go." So they wheeled him down the hall. They ran the tests. Every trace of phlebitis was gone from his body. Every trace of it. And the day before, it was bad. And so this was not because of medical intervention. It was bad the day before. And then, he's released. And his wife comes to pick him up. He goes home. And you know this. If you're healed like that, you're thankful. And he looked at his wife. And they knelt down beside their bed. And they started to give thanks to God. And then they went to sleep together for the first time in a week and a half. And he had a dream. And in the dream, he sensed the voice of God say to him, "My servant David defends the integrity of my word, and no one stands with him. When he speaks about my word being true, defend him." Mm. And of course, he's crying as he's telling me the story. And the two girls are crying, and I'm crying. And then he says, "The only time I got a phone call from God, it was for you." Of course, the whole room burst into laughter because he's this comic kind of guy. But I'll tell you something. That what I just described to you is typical of how the voice of God speaks. He speaks primarily by those when you're obeying the scripture. So I started off by obeying the scripture. And then interior presence and fire magnifies and grows large. And he speaks non-verbally by presence. That's how he speaks.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of texts that I use in the Hey, Are You There to Speak God book is a book on how to listen, test, and know when God speaks. And the Healing Prayer book is an extension of that book, because when you hear the voice and you recognize how the voice speaks and you cooperate with what God is doing, the power of the Lord flows through you. And so this whole thing about, so you start off with obedience to scripture. It's beautifully summarized in Luke 24, the Emmaus Road story. So, I mean, I don't know how you would feel. If you have a loss, if somebody you love dies, first thing you do is you pray. You talk to the God you know. You might weep, but in the course of time, you're going to pray. You're going to talk to the God for consolation. What happens if your God dies? These two guys, Cleopas and some unnamed disciple, they're walking down a road on the Sabbath day, Resurrection Sunday, first one in human history. These guys had watched Jesus die. It had been horrible. It had been awful. And he was, in their mind, Messiah, Son of God, God the Son. And he's dead. So they're processing this. Jesus shows up, talks to them. Then, of course, it's the greatest ripped off, again, scenario in the whole scripture. Jesus of Nazareth was with them for miles, and they don't know it's him. So anyway, he talks about Messiah theories from scripture. So in Jewish history, there were two views. A suffering servant from Isaiah, and the conquering king from Psalm 2 and Psalm 89. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know how to put this together. And Jesus talks scripture to them. And there's this fascinating thing that happens when they invite him in for supper at the end of the day. He breaks the bread, they recognize him. And then they say this phrase, and this summarized the voice. It says, "Were not our hearts burning hot within us while he spoke the scriptures to us?" It's this fascinating. So there's several identity markers with this. Fiery presence inside is part of what's called the witness or the testimony of the Spirit. Jesus was speaking scripture to them. And so as he was speaking scripture and they were hearing about scripture, the presence grew large. And so the word and the Spirit testified to each other. It happened not to one of them, but to both. So it was shared. And when they heard it, it pointed to Jesus as suffering and risen. And so the scriptures, four markers to hear the voice. One, it's in harmony with scripture. Two, there's an internal testimony. Three, you hear it together. And four, it points to Jesus.
Yeah. And I want to point out something else that you spoke of. Your friend Susie.
Yeah.
I feel like she was really key in this.
She was.
And when she kept coming to you.
Yes, she did.
Sometimes God is speaking to us through other people.
Absolutely.
At being in line with the scripture, she kept reminding you about that scripture.
Only one time she reminded me, but she was really mad.
She reminded you of the scripture,
yeah.
But her coming to you constantly, sometimes it's like, we know that we're hearing the same thing over and over again,
yep.
But it's like we start to block because we have another thing in mind that we want to do. And for you, in that particular situation, you were upset because of what this person had done.
Yeah.
But God was poking at you and saying, "Hey, you know, I need you to go do this." And when you did it, it put you in line with scripture. And then you all had this experience with the Holy Spirit. And then ultimately he received his healing, which is awesome. And going back to our question set about, you know, how do we respond, especially when it comes to healing prayer? Now you have this testimony.
Yes.
And you're able to tell other people about what happened. He's able to tell people about what happened.
Yes.
This seems to be the largest thing is line up with the scripture. And if you're not lining up with what God's will is, he's going to send people and situations to help you line up with those
things. So what you just put your finger on one of the most important principles in the Bible. If you're an idiot, God takes care of that.
Be very hard-headed and stubborn.
Yeah, well, you know, the story of Simon Peter, I mean, he denies Jesus three times by the charcoal fire, right?
Right.
He had a miraculous catch of fish, and he was a fisherman. So every time he fished, he was reminded of his call, right? And every time he was around charcoal fire, he'd smell it. Every time. And in that culture, there were no microwave ovens or slow cookers. There was no gas furnace. It was all charcoal fire. Everything was cooked over charcoal or heat like that. And so when Jesus appears to him a second time, he repeats the miraculous catch. He's gone fishing because he's so fed up. He thinks he can't do it anymore. He's taken six other apostles with him. What a leader. Anyway, he's a leader in stupidity as well as a leader in righteousness. Anyway, takes these six apostles. They're fishing. They don't catch anything. Repeat from Luke 5. This is John 21. Press repeat. And it was so funny. Jesus gets the miraculous catch of fish. He goes up on the shore. And there's a charcoal fire with fish on it. And Jesus is reminding him of his call. And Jesus is reminding him of his denial. And it's three times that Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? The Lord spoke to him in a repeated manner with the same signals to call back to him that, oh, by the way, when you smell charcoal, you don't have to despair. When you smell fish, you're not going to have to despair about feeling your call. I have given you a second chance, and I'm calling you three times because you denied me three times, and every time you smell fish on charcoal. And that would have been maybe four or five times a week for him. Every time you smell fish on charcoal, you're going to know that I love you, and you're commanded to love my sheep and feed them. That's he. So God's desire to speak to us is bigger than our ability to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do believe he's speaking to us constantly.
Yes.
We have to have our spiritual ears open to receive what it is that he's saying. Yes. So we get down to this third question in our set, which is, what is the ultimate benefit? You know, when we're listening and we're acting, doing as God says, of course, in that particular story that you shared, he received healing. You had this wonderful experience with the Spirit and saw that the word was in fact true. It was coming to life for you. But what would you say is the ultimate benefits for those who are listening?
Well, you participate. So the bottom line for me, when the day was done, actually 30 years later, that guy sent me a note. We'd lost track because I changed denominations, went to a different part of the country and so on and so forth. But 30 years later, he tracked me down to remember the moment. So, I mean, the fact that he was now believing the power of Jesus and serving, it was marvelous. But I'll tell you what the benefit was for me. It was the awareness that I was participating in the divine nature.
Mm.
And that when I was obeying, the power of the Spirit would bear witness to the word alive in me, and I would be guided, and I would know beyond all knowing that I was in who Jesus is, and to be in Christ is the best reward of all things. And so, I mean, the rest, everything else dies. I mean, and when I talk about the Spirit's baptism, there's three different streams in the culture. There's the Reformed tradition, which gives you power to serve. And there's the Pentecostal charismatic tradition, which talks about spiritual gifts. And there's the holiness tradition, which talks about participation in his nature. And I think you're not supposed to separate them at all.
Mm.
When you get power to serve, it drives you into the divine nature. And I draw it as a teardrop. And the drop in the bottom gets bigger and bigger until it's time for you to die. So it's like when you're getting older, your bottom gets bigger. And anyway, when you get a spiritual gift, it drives you into the divine nature. And these two things, power to serve and spiritual gifts, are for this present age, and we need them. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you something, when you are participating in the divine nature and the presence gets bigger and bigger until such time as your physical body can't contain it anymore, then you go to glory and you swim in the Trinity forever because you're joined to Jesus, who's the God the Son, by God the Spirit, who merges you with God the Father. This is the greatest benefit that can accrue from any experience of the Lord's presence and power. Hear the voice once, you become more like Jesus. In fact, what I say in my Hearing God book is, God will never distract you from himself. And the way that you can tell if the voice of Jesus is speaking to you is a very simple thing. Are you closer to Jesus after hearing this voice? Are you distracted from him? And if you are closer to him as a result of that experience, you'll know that was his voice. If you are farther from him, you'll know that you're being distracted by some other kind of voice, whether it's flesh or devil, or whether it's just the voice of your friends who are shooting the breeze, whatever, or appealing to your ego. the stuff that creates the temporary adrenaline rush doesn't last. But participation in the life of Jesus, that's forever. That's forever. Okay. There's nothing else that matters.
What's next for you, Dr. David?
Well, you know what? I'm Canadian. I'm traveling down to Southern United States, going to Jackson, Mississippi to record videos so that when people buy the Healing Prayer Book, they can have access to a course that they can use to teach their churches how to do this. Then I have a series of conferences. The one I'm excited about, I'm going to Vietnam in October. And the reason I'm excited about this is I did an event in Australia and there were Vietnamese in the listening audience. They walked up to me and said, "Is your teaching in Vietnamese?" I said, "There's a rough translation done of this particular book." And they said, "We'll translate it for you. We need to give it to the Vietnamese Alliance. They've been persecuted under communist domination." Mm. And so I have just spoken with them about finding a way to get that book into Vietnam when I'm there and giving it to our 1,700 pastors who've been part of the persecuted church. That's what I'm looking forward to with great joy. So I've written a book. It's a book on the Lord's Prayer. And I taught the concepts of the Lord's Prayer when I was in Australia last year.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. How can people connect with you tell us your books?
Well, the Healing Prayer Book is easy. Anywhere books are sold, ask for Healing Prayer with David Chodka and Maxie Dunham. It's a co-write. Maxie is an author of 50 books, so he's more famous than I am. And he was the head of the Upper Room Publishing House. So that's an easy find. The other books are on Amazon. I've got 5 books out. But the thing I'd say to you, the easiest way to be in touch with me and all my social media is to go to my webpage. And so if you can take the word spirit, like Holy Spirit, and attach the word equip, like equipment, put them together, because that's what I do. It's www.spiritequip.com, because I equip people in spiritual discipline. So that's the name of my website. And if you want to be in touch with me, you can go there. And there are links to my Instagram account and my Facebook page and my YouTube channel. I do weekly sermons. And people can watch those sermons on the YouTube channel after the broadcast locally here. And I do Zoom courses and I do conferences and events. And if you want to invite me to come to your church, I'm more than happy. I do 3-day conferences on healing prayer, on the Lord's Prayer, and on hearing the voice of Jesus. And I'm just now developing a course on how to deal with the powers of darkness. And so those 4 themes, I have presentation materials. And the secret sauce to learning is not just to have a conference. The secret sauce is to have a conference followed by a learning process. And so I have learned to create resources that can be placed in the hands of those who have heard me speak so that they can do a daily process to acquire the skills that they've heard about in the fire hose in the conference, one small step at a time after the conference is done.
What is your final word for the people? The one thing that they can implement in their life today?
God's desire to speak to you is far greater than your desire to hear. And you need to learn how to pay attention to those signals. And I can say this to you. If you don't get it the first time, he will make sure he'll move heaven and earth to get you to the place where you hear it the second or the third time. Because he's a most gracious and loving God. And his desire is to lead us. And actually, the Bible says it. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So says the Gospel of John. It doesn't say the super spiritual. It doesn't say the really dumb. It says my sheep. And if you're one of those, you'll hear his voice.
Thank you so much. CWS audience, you have heard him. It is time for us to open up our spiritual ears and listen for God's voice. He is speaking to us probably daily. If you just don't recognize that he is. But if you're in your word, every day, you know he's speaking to you. And if you start aligning yourself with his word, you know you will hear him. So let's start taking those steps that we need to take so that we are hearing the voice of God, but also acting in the voice of God. And so that we can ultimately receive the benefit we all want to receive. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.